stars. What are they?
Fancy ramen.
Episode 57. It's February 25th, 2018. I'm Neil.
I'm Cookie.
Scott. And guys, I went and got Chipotle today. I'm currently eating Chipotle on mic, which is why we don't have video going, because you don't want to see me devour.
Wait, that's really the
video.
Reason why we don't have video?
No, it's just because since we're going to be recording some gameplay later, I didn't want to have to set up, tear down, and spend like a whole combined 2 hours doing that today.
I mean, I'm not complaining. Sierra saw me earlier and she's like, "Oh, you must not be recording video today." And I was like, "How did you know?" She said, "You'd never be caught dead on camera wearing a sweatshirt and sweatpants."
Wait, you own sweatpants and sweatshirts?
More importantly, I mean, what do your pants matter?
Wait, what'd you say? Why do my pants matter?
Yeah.
What if I get up in front of the camera? You think I wear like a collared shirt and then gym shorts underneath?
Kind of. That's, you have legs?
That's what a lot of news people do, actually, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm committed to the whole package here. Yes, I do own sweatpants, but as a concession, they are like skinny sweatpants. So there's that.
Chipotle, kind of not as good as I remember it being ever.
If you're vegan, Chipotle rocks. Their sofritas option is great. It's cheaper and it's still delicious.
But is that a matter of proximity where it's like there's only one place, there's only like one quote-unquote fast food place that has vegan-friendly food? So
Taco Bell's actually particularly vegan-friendly. I mean,
you're vegan?
It's not good food.
If you want to trust it, like, I mean,
Cookie, I made you a big meat pie once.
You did, and I was confused. I was like, he can't be vegan. I guess he's vegan now.
No, I can't. I can never be truly 100% vegan. Also, because I disagree with some things about veganism. Like, if you want to be a fundamental vegan and eat, like, reject eating things like, say, honey or eggs, I can't keep up with that. That's too hard on me. Like, limiting my red meat, white meat intake is totally fine with me. Like, I'll eat closer to vegan or vegetarian if the option is available.
And that's not even vegan. That's European.
Yeah, exactly. I eat European. Back to my historical roots of being impoverished and unable to afford a chicken or a cow.
Potatoes. Tubers, man. It's all about those tubers.
Yeah, man. I love potatoes. Beets. There's so many good tubers out there in the world. Actually, I don't know if beets count as... They might be... My plant biology is very poor. I'm actually going to stop here before I make a fool of myself.
I'm mid-bite right now.
I'm just watching you dig your hole. So, you know, it's what else.
Yeah. I'm not going to say this is going to be a short one, but I don't have a huge amount to talk about.
And
so,
he's jinxed it.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, I have jinxed it at this point, which is good because this is how we fill time, is we just jinx it at the beginning and then we find a way.
Speaking about not having much to say.
I'm taking over the audio quite a bit, I know. what have you guys been up to this week besides indulging in Chipotle and then not feeling particularly indulgent about it?
I started my new shift at work. So now I work in the morning and get off at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's been kind of glorious. I get home and I can play. I can actually play video games. Like, I cleaned up the basement.
And the sun is still out, right?
Yeah. I cleaned up.
That's the best feeling.
Yeah.
So playing video games while you can see the sunlight.
Pretty much. So I cleaned up the basement. I took out the VR again and I've been playing some of that. I'll be talking about that in a little bit. And lots of Monster Hunter, and it's been beautiful. But next week, I'm going to be getting off super late, as per usual, due to the fact that our company bought a second company, and they're all getting onboarded on Monday.
Oh, so you're not just buying that company and then letting them all go?
Nah, we've been...
You, Mr. Senior Executive Cookie?
What? Nah, we've been going through, like, training with them, training them. I've been hosting some training classes and things like that. So
make sure you establish dominance early. Take somebody's coffee and just tell them that that's yours now.
But no, so we get all the Scottrade clients are going to be calling in on Monday. And this week just looks to be super duper, super duper busy. So they're like, all hands on deck.
I'm also
starting to get into overtime as well, or have been, I guess. So it's fun. Although I don't necessarily let it stop my game playing. I just sleep less as a result of it.
I can't function like that.
I can.
Yeah, that's like...
It's called like cancerous amounts of caffeine.
It's a war of attrition, Neil. And ultimately, you and your body will lose if you play that way.
But they'll lose together, and that's all Neil cares about.
If my mind is dead by the time my body goes, then everything's okay. Like, it's your body going before your mind, or your mind going before your body, that are ultimately both terrible, right?
I'm really upset that you've made what I think is a compelling enough argument for me to drop the point.
Well, so, speaking of playing video games, I have been putting in some mad hours into Breath of the Wild. I don't know how to track my total time in that game or any game on the Switch, so I can't give you figures.
Isn't there a save time on the save file?
No, there's no time. There is an hour, minutes that dictates the time of the save, but not the total play time. I mean, you know, it's in a weird Japanese metric when it says 58 hours, obviously, but sarcasm.
Yeah.
kind of as like a quick heads up, I have quelled or calmed or appeased two of the divine beasts, and I just stopped on the third one, the Rito, the flying bird one. I'm assuming at this point no one cares about spoilers because this game's been out for like
6 years at this point.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a year and like a little under a week, actually a week.
Nice.
So every time I play this game, and granted, this is me as like a narratively driven player, like every game I play, with some exceptions like Hitman, have really strong story, real like a focus on characters, character development, story, narrative, whatever. Zelda does one thing better than I think like any open world game or most open world games have. And I find it hilarious because that thing, amongst other topics and subjects, mind you. But the one thing that I find they do great at is giving Link personality, despite the fact that Link has no dialogue and only like the most rudimentary choices. Am I wrong? Am I off base here?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I know that they've added a lot of personality to our silent protagonist of Link, at least I think most notably from playing Ocarina of Time and forward. And that's partially because they have a lot of, like, I guess, physical expression for him, both in how he moves and just how he responds to certain things. Like, he has a very expression-filled face at times in cutscenes and in Breath of the Wild, where I don't want to like get too in-depth on it, but from Ocarina of Time forward, Link's face quite often has a context-specific expression on it that has only grown as Nintendo's technology has gotten better. Ocarina of Time, it's mostly cutscenes, same with Majora's Mask. Once you get to Wind Waker, you have Link's eyes kind of roaming around in rooms and his expression changes where he's at. He also starts to physically respond to environments a little bit.
You have the ability to change his expressions when you do the selfies in Wind Waker, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, absolutely. And so all those elements, I think, really... Nintendo's good at that, though. They do it with Mario, too, who is another relatively... voiceless protagonist. Like, Mario has even less options than Link, I think, in most cases. And we're talking about a character that, like, when you encounter someone from the Yiga clan, your options are yes, let's fight, or no, let's fight, or I'll buy your bananas, then we'll fight. Except I think actually if you buy out their bananas, they don't fight you. I'm not 100% on that, but I remember trying that and I can't remember the result.
I've never found a Yiga merchant yet.
So you haven't?
I ran into a bunch of travelers.
At a super high price.
Oh yeah.
I did infiltrate the Yiga clan at a like north of Gerudo Town or Gerudo City, whatever the hell.
That's fun.
And it was hilarious going up into like the attic of one of their dens and just finding a huge amount of those bananas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just, and then taking them all. And I was thinking to myself, like, if this were not a Zelda game, I would assume that the game was trying to tell me that the most opportune way to get through this stealth area is to just start chucking bananas from the rafters and then use that as a diversion. But then I remembered, oh, it's Zelda. And like, Zelda by nature is quirky and weird. So this is just meant to be like a little bit of knowledge base of like, oh, they love bananas and here is their bananas.
Well, that's the best joke in the whole game, in my opinion, especially after you beat Master Koga or you talk to a banana merchant. Every once in a while, instead of saying for Master Koga or Die Hero, they'll be like, for the banana, I mean Master Koga. And the first time I saw it, it was laugh out loud funny. I mean, it's the best joke they have going for them. And it's surprisingly good time after time after time, because the Yiga become, I think, more and more incessant with your encounters as you get, I guess, further progress through the game.
Yeah, that would make sense. I do want to say that maybe I'm also giving Nintendo too much credit, because we've had so many games with Link filled with personality that at this point it might be unfair to say, well, hey, Dragon Age Inquisition or Dragon Age Origins only has one game to work with for each of their protagonists. Whereas, you know, you're calling on, like you said, like basically starting from Ocarina of Time, that's when like you start to get more of like Link's quirks all the way through this game now. It's a little unfair to compare the two, but I don't know. I can't simply say that is the sole reason why Link is good in this game, because he still feels in ways different from the other games. And I think the game does like a good job of using its gameplay to also enhance his character. Like the first time I got, I think the girl's name is Pura. When I got the camera functioning from her and she says to take a picture of her, I like purposely did a selfie with Link posing and Pura like slightly in the corner of the frame. So it still counted as a picture for Pura. But I don't know. It's just like small little things like that that allow you to be goofy and like anti-serious at points. But then still, when you need Link to be like the hero that he is, it feels perfectly natural for you to be doing the things that the game wants you to do. Whereas in Skyrim or Dragon Age, at times you just find yourself asking like, wait, why am I doing this? Or what am I doing? And what motivates my character to do this? I'm a fucking prisoner that just got lit out because who fucking knows why. My cell is apparently the cell that lit, you know, that has the secret passage in it.
And now I'm going to help these people who imprisoned me?
Yeah, there's no motivations to those games. And it I think that's like the driving reason why it's hard for me to get through most of those open world RPGs. With Breath of the Wild, like, despite being given the whole narrative of like, you're an amnesiac. Yeah, you don't know anything or you don't remember anything, but you could remember things if you go and track down these photos. But even if you don't, I'm still being driven based on like the mandatory cutscenes you get as you go from place to place, or divine beast to divine beast. I can't get past how the storytelling in a lot of, I don't think it's region specific, but like a lot of the Western developed open world RPGs is so lacking compared to what this game is, which, like, to be quite honest, probably has less story than any of like the recent 3 or 4 Zeldas.
And yet, in similarity with all these Western RPGs, it's the same basic format of once you leave the tutorial area, you're not being forced to do anything for the main storyline. You know, neither those Western RPGs or this game are really compelling you to complete your task with any sense of urgency besides dialogue options and cutscenes trying to imply some urgency.
I like it. I don't have anything to add. I'm sorry.
Like, the only time I felt like a game created a decent sense of urgency that I can think of in this sort of open world format. Oh shit, it's not even open world. I was going to talk about Dragon Age Origins and how when you get past the tutorial and the Darkspawn, I think is what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They destroy Lothering. Like, you can watch on the map as they grow more and more, or like more of like the darkspawn area or infested area grows further and further. Like it creates a nice sense of urgency of like, oh shit, you know, if I don't do something, this whole map's going to be covered up, and then I can't go hang out with the prostitutes anymore, or whatever the fuck you do in Dragon Age Origins.
I've got to save this land for the prostitutes.
I don't know. That game is really fucking good. I still like probably wouldn't have it break into my top three of 2018, which definitely says a lot about the three games I had up there. But it's super close. Like, I wish I had played this a lot sooner, because I'm in, like, from a gameplay standpoint, this has the absolute best gameplay mechanics I think I've ever had in a game. Nier Automata is pretty close to that too, but like at this moment of speaking, I feel like Zelda Breath of the Wild is the best video game I've ever played for video game sake, gameplay purposes.
I'm proud of you. Speaking of Zelda Breath of the Wild, I played a game, Rime. I don't remember if you guys remember when this game first came out, but people were saying via the trailers, it's like, oh yeah, this is going to be the Zelda for not the Nintendo console. I got it because it was one of the free PlayStation Plus games. I started playing it, and it's literally the only game I've actually ever played where my first thought was, why am I playing this? Like, what is my character doing? It's kind of got like this journey type of story going on so far, at least, where like every once in a while you see like pictures of the civilization before, and I got this trophy when going into this weird area where there was like this stone on the ground, and then it was called funeral flowers. So instead, your character's got like a pickup function, a jump function, and like a shout function. So whenever you hit the shout function around that, he would like whimper or cry instead of like yell, which made me think, oh, so I guess he knows what's going on in this world. I have no idea what's happening. But I just thought to myself, meh, this is okay. I got past the first area and into the second area without giving any kind of spoilers, because I can't justify giving spoilers for this because I don't know enough about it.
And not to mention it's a free game on PlayStation Plus, so it's like people could be playing it for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Out of what I've played, I gave it about 2 hours worth of just like, okay, let's figure this out. And then I was like, okay, why am I playing this? The puzzle elements of it were kind of too... they gave you too much information. So it's like you could have to like rotate a platform and the platform would turn a certain color when it's facing the right direction. Or, you know, when you've got the, you've got to like slide bricks around. They've got those, but instead there would be a like gold skull outline where that brick is supposed to go. So they just gave away too much of like the puzzle aspect. So I was like, yeah. Nah, I'm good. This game's okay. I give it, out of the 2 hours I played, 2 out of 5.
When you speak about the story, like I'm familiar with the idea of using mystery or like a non-existent narrator or a lack of dialogue to inform you about the situation as a way to draw players in, because you know you want to know about what's happening so you continue to play it, and then like the ultimate resolution or story might not actually be that fulfilling, but it's the fact that you didn't know it playing through the game that makes it more rewarding, or maybe more of a shock value in some cases. So why do you think this game doesn't seem to pull you in that same way?
So the reason I mentioned Journey before, there was, when you played Journey for the first time or even like going through it a number of times, it said, hey, here's your objective. Get from point A to point B, and you're going to be doing these cool, like, little flourishing fly things. And the longer your scarf gets, the more you can fly and flourish and blah, blah, blah. This game quite literally puts you on a beach. Your character's, like, limping for about half a second. And then it just kind of opens up this world where you're like, okay, so what am I doing now? Cool. Looks like this is going to be, like, a couple of simple... it's going to be some puzzles, and it's going to be some platforming. But it's like really, really simple puzzles and really, really simple platforming where they're, like I mentioned before, giving away the answers. So then it's like, I don't really care enough to play this game, because the gameplay loop wasn't enjoyable enough for me to care enough to figure out what's going on in the world.
Sure.
as far as I've gotten, it is like the king of this land does something, blah, blah, blah. The kid is connected to the king at some point, yada, yada, yada. There's no carnivores on this island until you release one, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, okay, kind of over it. The gameplay loop wasn't interesting enough for me to actually justify wanting to know what's happening in the world.
So how much of this is actually you not wanting to beat this game because of that New Year's resolution?
Yeah, I probably should beat this game because of that New Year's resolution. Nah, that thing's gone.
Well, and yeah, I don't think it's necessarily worth playing, beating a game just for the sake of beating it. Unless you're like 85% of the way through. But
I was hoping I was 85% of the way through because I was like, the only reason I gave it 2 hours is I was like, okay, this seems like it's going to be a good ending stopping point here. I've caught up to the thing. I've done the thing, blah, blah, blah. And then it just opened up another world. And I was like, okay, never mind. I'm good. Because I'll be honest with you. I was done about an hour in. But I was like, I can kind of see the end of this area. So let's just finish this off. And as I mentioned, with getting off early from work from now on, I cleaned up the basement and I got on the old VR. So I started playing a game called The Red Stair. It is I guess technically it's room scale, but there's not many places to move around in with it. You are a detective or a cop of some sort on a stakeout in a room that is across the street from an apartment complex full of could be communist spies.
That's fucking cool.
So you're taking pictures. And so basically you're looking at this apartment building and you can see inside the windows of six rooms that the tenants on the other side live in. And you're kind of just watching them and taking pictures of what's going on. And they give you like little missions and things like that. So it kind of starts off with like, you're the guy who's before you. He died suddenly or had to leave, whatever. And you're taking over his post now. He's taken some notes on like what people wear, what their names are and which rooms, which apartments they live in. Get familiar with them. And then this lady here, she's your main informant. Make sure to keep an eye on her. Okay, she's going to drop off this briefcase. It's got some sensitive information in it. Keep an eye on that briefcase. Make sure nothing happens to it. Now, you don't have any way of like going down or doing anything. All you can do is take pictures and fax them into the headquarters. So she drops the box. Slight spoiler, I guess, is like the first 5 minutes of the game. She drops the box off. You're kind of looking at the box. There's this this dude walks up and you get a phone call and it says, hey, there's a stranger looking at the thing. Make sure he doesn't take it. And if he does, make sure to get pictures of it. So you hear a gunshot and a flash in the top left corner of like your peripheral vision. So naturally you're going to look up to see what's happening. The chick who did the drop gets shot and pushed out the window and her body's falling. And if you're not paying attention to the briefcase, the dude walks away with it. So then it kind of like continues from there. Then it's like, okay, well, what happens to the briefcase? If you got pictures of it, they're like, sweet. If you either got a picture of him physically picking up the briefcase, they go, yeah, cool. I see here that this man picked up the briefcase. We'll hunt him down. Or if you didn't get quite that accurate of a shot, they'll be like, sweet. Based on the shots that you've got, we can surmise that the man took the briefcase. We'll try and hunt him down. Now we've put a second agent in the room. We've put a second agent in the apartment complex. Figure out who she is. So then it's just like a mystery of trying to figure out who the new person is that's in this building based on the notes that you got from the previous guy who used to work the building and just like taking pictures of people. And it'll like the system is when you take a picture of a person, that person usually gets highlighted and it writes their name on the little Polaroid that prints out. And you can like stick it on your chalkboard. You can write little notes for yourself. But yeah, it's a really interesting game. I've played about 2 hours worth of it. Done a couple of different kinds of missions of like, hey, someone's a communist here. You need to figure out who it is. They like to meet in this area or this area. And then once you figure it out, the person that's working with us, she's in trouble or she's in trouble. Go ahead and as soon as she's outside your window, throw the picture down of the communist, of the person you think is the communist, so that way she can collect it and be wary of that person now.
Right. Like, for all the limitations you have with even room scale VR, these are the type of experiences that I've always been really excited to hear about, because they're ones that take the, or I guess they're like narratively or scenario driven limitations. Like, they make sense within the context of what the game is. Like, if you told me your game was, well, this is a very specific, well-known example, is working in a cubicle of a futuristic museum, seeing how humans would have worked. What the hell is that called now?
It's not Job Simulator. That sounds amazing, though.
Yeah, that is Job Simulator, actually. Like, because the context is, it's like you are going through a simulation of what humans used to do in their cubicle. Like, it's those types of games that, like, might not necessarily give you, like, the grand scale of being in, like, a whole virtual reality, like, virtual world, that sort of thing. But just their realistic results of what VR is capable of doing.
The other thing is that games like this have just such a unique perspective. Like, what are the chances that this game would be half as fun if you were not to be doing it in sort of this VR environment, and you're just, like, essentially watching things happen on a screen and picking them out? Like, even the ability to, you know, turn your head away from the window for a second to go look at, say, your fax machine to put a photo down. Like, you don't want to miss something. And so it has, I think, just a very real and immersive environment to it that the VR space benefits, and therefore the limited movement is, I guess, it's really not as big of a deal, because there are so many other elements that are being utilized to keep your attention and interest in being in that enclosed or singular space.
You know what just occurred to me? I'm really surprised that there's not a Five Nights at Freddy's VR game yet.
Why'd you even say it out loud? Now it's gonna happen. Speaking of Five Nights at Freddy's, I kind of want to play Subnautica.
Wait, how does that relate at all?
Because apparently it's terrifying.
Oh. Okay, I see.
The deep sea is like a common human fear.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Dark water. Cookie, I've got an achievement for you to hunt in this game, the Red Stare.
What's that?
It's called It's Healthy, Right? Light and smoke 10 cigarettes at the same time.
10?
Yeah. Oh, the image is a silhouette of a man with just, like, cigarettes sticking out in all different directions from his mouth.
Okay, I'm fine with hunting this. I actually, that's one of my favorite pastimes. It's like, okay, tomorrow this is going to happen, so now you just got to sit and wait. You can either, like, stare at the clock to make time go faster, or you can just,
or
like,
you can
watch and watch what's happening across the street. So usually I've got my lighter in my hand and I've got my pack of cigs, and I'll smoke a cigarette and it'll, like, I'll put it up to my mouth. You'll see the little thing start to go down faster. Then I'll, like, take it away from my mouth and I'll blow out and the smoke will go. Whoosh.
Oh, that's so cool.
Like,
The achievements for this game look pretty fun. There's another one called Sloppy Agent that has that same silhouette, but then there's googly eyes on it. And it's like complete mission R with the lowest score possible.
I wonder if there is a fail state in that game.
It
Have
sounds
you experienced
like there
one,
is.
Cookie?
I've not experienced the fail state.
Because I would love the idea of just playing, role-playing the agent that's just like, oh shit, this is a stupid post. Or I don't want to do my job, and just watching people do things, but not doing anything proactively.
Not taking pictures.
Don't take pictures. Or take pictures of bullshit that doesn't matter. Like, maybe you can convince your superiors you're doing enough work by taking pictures of irrelevant people as they walk down the street. Like, this dog looks suspicious.
I've taken so many pictures of pigeons by accident.
Here's a shot of the laundry hanging outside the apartment.
It's a red dress. We know what people are when they wear red.
Communists.
Exactly. Like, in some case, like, you have to take this game, like, a little less seriously, just based on the fact that the whole communist scare was kind of bullshit. Not the entire communist scare. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we should all be commies. But what I'm saying is that, like, there were a lot of witch hunts.
There are a lot of witch hunts. Just for witches.
Well, yes. Isn't that the term, though, where, like, you
it's a commie hunt at that point.
You would, yes, but like, isn't a witch hunt something where you literally are looking for something that isn't there at times too?
Or you can call it a crusade. That also works.
A crusade, I feel like, is
just a mass purging of inferior people.
And, well, and not to mention it also like that. That's what it's what it claims to be. But it's also just about killing off a bunch of your own people accidentally in the process, or getting rid of political rivals, right?
Accidentally.
Sending, yeah. Quote, sending your weakest heir to the front lines.
But yeah, either way, Red Stare. I'm enjoying what I've been playing of it so far. And I'm like, yeah, let's just do this. I'm excited to be jumping back into VR to want to figure out like good things to play. So that's why Subnautica's recently hit my list of possible games.
That is full VR support?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay. Tiff's played a bunch of that pre-release, but it was like pretty close to going gold since it came out officially, what, like 2 weeks ago?
Ish.
Maybe a month at this point.
I think Subnautica's in that same category that players who are liking The Long Dark also really enjoyed Subnautica in a different sense. So
now it's just The Long Dark underwater and in VR.
Yeah, and I don't
Hopefully
think they've
it's better than The Long Dark.
I don't think they've had like the negative connotations with pricing, or, and I could be wrong there, or with like a story mode destroying the experience for certain people.
Oh my God.
Because like the story mode was always part of Subnautica from the get-go. It's just when you were playing in early access, they may not have gotten to a specific point.
I want to say the main thing that came out with the full release of Subnautica was the free roam mode.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So even more like motivation for people that don't want to be tied down by a narrative or story.
Yeah, it's pretty much the opposite approach
that The Long Dark took.
Yeah, exactly. The Long Dark was first, let's build this really awesome sandbox and then constrain it with a story. And in Subnautica, it's like, here is a story experience that you can enjoy, but if you just want to sandbox it, go for it.
So, Scott, what have you been playing? League of Legends.
I actually had a win streak before I started playing with Neil last night.
Oh, hold on now. Who also helped you get on that win streak?
Yeah, actually, Neil continued the win streak for me.
And we lost our first game coming back to it that night, but I think we started the win streak together. We lost one ranked match.
Yeah, at the beginning of the day, we started the win streak. I kept it going while Neil was gone, and then he came back and we...
completely flubbed it?
We had a bad last game. It was tough.
Oh, so what are we talking about?
We're on to news at this point.
Yeah, we're done talking about League. So, guys, remember when we talked about Mario Odyssey and how Luigi's not around and how that might be a conspiracy or might... That was the basis of my theory that Mario had killed his own brother, I think. Was that part of the theory?
And that's why his clothes were available?
Yes. And so,
oh, yeah, I remember this now. Yeah.
Well, it turns out Luigi is fine. And he's showing up in Mario Odyssey. I guess there's an update or something. But Luigi's here. That's really what matters the most.
Too bad we can't play as him. I would really love to play as Luigi. I love it when they bring other characters in. And especially when it's like the Super Mario Brothers 2 type of gameplay where each character has a slightly different...
Oh, yeah. You mean the Mario game that's not actually a Mario game?
Yeah, it's not a Mario game at all. What do you mean I can't jump on the heads of my enemies? but I really like the fact that like if you play Luigi, you're kind of like... You have less traction on the ground, but you have a higher jump. And then... You know, Peach, you could float, and then Toad was just a shitty character all around. So,
stays true to the canon.
That was great.
So, this particular update brings in the balloon world. Have you guys had a chance to play it, or are you tempted to go back to Mario Odyssey now?
I think I want to go back and play it. I just haven't gotten there yet. I might even try it later today.
I just lent out my copy, so it'd
be a
second.
That's probably a no.
Uh-oh. You don't have this game, do you, Neil?
No, Tiff does. Well, I mean, okay, yes, so I do, I should say. But I still have not played past, like, two or three worlds in Mario Odyssey.
You got to get to New Donk City. That's so much fun. It's the most fun I had with that game. And it's, like, maybe the fourth world.
I recognize Mario Odyssey as a good game. I just don't necessarily, I think personally in 2018, having enough, or 17, having enough time and distance away from the game, playing it a bit here and there, and having played some of the Wii U games as well, Wii and Wii U Mario games, I kind of feel like Mario Odyssey is like overhyped.
Go on.
It's not that, and I'm not saying it's not a great game. I'm just saying that I think a majority of people playing Mario Odyssey and getting so excited about it have not played Mario Galaxy, have potentially not played Mario Sunshine.
It's just the Mario Galaxy of our generation.
I guess, like, maybe, yeah, yeah, that is probably true.
Because was Galaxy on the Wii U?
On the Wii, I think.
See?
Yeah,
see?
Galaxy was on the Wii, and then Galaxy 2, I don't know if it was
did that make
also
it to
on the Wii or also
that
Wii
That was
U.
A weird sound I made. But, like, in some sense, I appreciate the gameplay of Mario Odyssey. It's just not, it's like, it's not that much different, and it doesn't feel that much grander than Mario Galaxy. Whereas Breath of the Wild, going back to that for like 5 seconds, no matter where you leave off in the Zelda series, Breath of the Wild is just fucking groundbreaking.
I think this radio silence is a wholehearted agreement.
And an indication that it's time to talk about movies again. Hey guys, remember when we talked about video game movies and some of
Wait,
which that we didn't want to talk about?
We're not going to talk about people hiding balloons in the balloon hunt minigame.
We could.
We should.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So for anybody who has not started playing this but is intending to, one thing to be aware of is there is a minigame in which one player gets to hide a balloon. And then another player will wager coins to try and find the balloon within the time limit. There are people who are now hiding balloons in inaccessible spots by like avoiding clipping, or not avoiding clipping, but clipping through objects and then hiding balloons in inaccessible areas, like between buildings or behind walls. And so PSA, people are shitty and only take easy balloon challenges that children have made. Okay, that's all
take,
I had to say.
Take all their coins.
And Luigi will comment on your outfits, which is entertaining.
Yeah, I saw a few of the examples. I think it's kind of funny. Luigi's great. Yeah. He's a good character.
Good guy.
I'm just saying that when Mario went missing, like, Luigi was there to help him out. And Luigi does a lot of shit that Mario's not willing to do, like go run through haunted houses with his vacuum cleaner.
Or jump higher.
Does he actually jump higher, or does he just have more hang time, kind of like Peach?
No, I think his jump is slightly higher than Mario's in most games, but maybe not all.
Mario, Luigi.
I mean, unless we're talking like Mario Party. If we're talking like Mario Party, then everybody's the same.
Oh, there is one particular comment he makes. If Mario is wearing Peach's wedding dress, Luigi's comment is like, "Whoa, you're getting married? Why didn't you tell me?" Oh, you're just wearing that as an outfit? Okay. Just want to point out that Luigi's like so accepting of his brother no matter what he does.
Incredibly progressive.
You know, if I were to have a brother, it would be Luigi. I guess I have brothers.
And so. I guess they're Luigi.
They're all Luigi.
But speaking of brothers and jumping slightly higher, I hear that something can run a lot faster. Terrible segue into...
A Sonic the Hedgehog movie,
which has a tentative release date of
November 15th 2019.
Oh, excuse me, because I'm counting down the days for this.
Thanks, yeah. Hollywood Reporter.
You guys ever watch the Sonic cartoons?
Exam.
Depends which series, because they're
oh I guess I haven't watched the boom.
Oh yeah, I guess I'm talking about the old like
Sonic the animation.
When yeah, he was really from, into from chili dogs.
Yeah, and he was short and fatter.
It was not presenting a good body image for children back then.
But he was
but
the
he's
fastest.
A hedgehog, so he shouldn't be presenting any sort of like body image that children want to achieve.
You say that now, but furries exist, Scott. So I think we've all accepted that, you know, animals and hedgehogs in particular
I'm gonna
can
stop
serve
you there. So anyway,
as body image models for kids.
Would you be interested in seeing this movie at all?
For the exact opposite reasons, and I won't go and see most video game movies, yes, because I'm weirdly fascinated by what the hell a Sonic movie would be. And how many, like, 3D chili dogs are we going to see in this movie? That's predominantly my biggest question.
Did that Tetris movie ever come out?
No. Was that real?
I think so. Either way. And other news. Sorry, I just have an article up for this. For those of you guys who've been playing Metal Gear Survive, which is not me.
Or me.
Because you heard what I thought about that game. I think. Was that released anywhere?
What do you mean?
I know you watched me play Metal Gear Survive for like 5 minutes. Did we talk about that ever?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
We may have talked about it outside of the podcast, yeah.
It was not good. You hit things with a spear, and for your information, I watched some gameplay of it with someone that had been playing for about 10 hours, and what was he doing? He was also hitting things with a spear. So I think that is the basis of that game, spear hunting Metal Gear.
Metal Gear spear hunting, the microtransaction.
Metal Spear Solid?
Ooh, I like this even better. Thanks. But yeah, Metal Spear Solid. All about the microtransactions, kind of, I guess.
Yeah.
Most recently,
$10 for an extra save slot or something.
Yeah.
I hear it's all the things that you hate about Metal Gear Solid, and none of the things you love. Great idea.
I just wanted to kind of bring that to light because I know we talk about how much microtransactions are things costing games. Like, I think we discussed it with the Dragon Ball Super, the blue.
Yeah, the blue versions of
Goku and Vegeta.
Super Saiyan God.
Yeah. This one's charging you for save slots.
Yeah.
Just.
Character save slots specifically, right? Because you have one save per character. Like, it's a progressive thing, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe. I just imagine it's like, hey, you want to build a second character? Give me $10.
Yeah. Well, okay. So saying that, is it worse? Is it worse or better than Capcom charging $4 for the Ryu and Sakura emotes?
I'm going to call it worse.
But $4 for a fucking pose.
Yeah.
Like, so if I wanted to get both emotes for, I think it's two each, Dragon Punch and Hadouken for Ryu and Sakura, maybe they're the same emotes.
No, they're the same emotes.
Okay.
Because you can do those emotes even without having the armor sets.
Wait, so they actually use the same emote between the two character models?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's interesting.
Because, like, even if I'm not, my character is not Sakura,
I could still
do the emote and still hunt the monsters using Hadoukens and Shoryukens.
I get that. I just assumed that they probably pulled the animation straight from Street Fighter V, and if they did, I am assuming that Sakura and Ryu use different, like, spinal movements, if that makes sense. But maybe they modify the movements when you're using those costumes, because those costumes inherently look different or may function slightly differently than like the core male and female spines, if you will, in that game.
Maybe. I haven't decided not to spend the money on the emotes.
Yeah.
I figure I...
So you'd have to spend nearly $10 if you wanted both of those emotes, though. Doesn't that seem... like just as bad as character slots?
But I can save multiple characters in Monster Hunter.
Do you have a hard limit of characters in Monster Hunter, though?
Maybe. I think it might just be three, but that's enough because you have to go through the entire story mode with another thing,
right?
Rather than, you know, just swapping out gear and changing your armor.
But what about the household that has one PlayStation 4 and four children that all are Monster Hunter fanatics? And in the past, it was okay because a Nintendo 3DS or, you know, DS at the time was affordable enough to get multiple ones, you know? But now, only one PS4 Plus console. First world problem.
And there you go. Each one has their own unique sign-in.
Oh, bam. Shit. Okay.
Bam. There you go.
I don't necessarily feel one way or another, but I was definitely trying to come up with at least a comparison, because I don't necessarily think...
I think the closest you can get to a comparison to charging for a character slot is MMOs that after you use three character slots, then they start charging you a few bucks for a second one, for another one.
It's an inherent gameplay limitation, but depending on how many characters you get in Metal Gear Survive, it might not be that big of a deal. Because if you get three, I mean, Lord knows, people are probably only going to get...
You get one.
Oh,
You get one in Metal Gear Survive, and the next one you pay $10 for.
Well, so, I mean, you only need to play that game once to know you don't want to play it again, right?
Exactly.
But the game's also $40 as opposed to $60, but maybe that's just them realizing that this game is not worth, like, a new AAA development price.
Or, you know, just the budget price. I've seen some pretty shitty $6 games.
Man, that's a fucking steaming hot pile of shit from the sounds of it. I don't know. I've heard people say that there were cool ideas in it, because it's like, it's definitely a survival sort of resource based game, but then having watched some gameplay as well and watching that hunger and thirst meter just drop no matter what you're doing, like, oh, you're in a menu crafting things, you're getting thirstier and hungrier by the second. It's kind of demoralizing.
If I want to play a horror survival game, I'll play We Happy Few. Thank you.
I still think that game could be like really cool, really good.
Just, I should hop back on it.
I don't know if now is the time, because didn't they just take it off of early access on Steam?
Did they?
Yeah.
I own it on the Microsoft thing.
The Microsoft Store?
Yeah, I think gross. Microsoft Store, or maybe on Steam. I don't know. I own it somewhere because I got super excited for that trailer. And then I was like, oh, it's already out. Then I started playing it for 5 minutes and I was like, oh, this is the type of game it is. Then I deleted it shortly after.
Yeah, we might not have talked about it, but because it's not out, so that means it's not officially a game, right? Isn't that how it goes? Like Kingdom Hearts 3?
I think it's closer to officially being a game than Kingdom Hearts 3 is.
I don't know, man. We basically saw like what a quarter of that game is going to be with the Monsters, Inc. trailer.
Yeah, we know a lot about this game, and yet...
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Yeah, so when We Happy Few was delayed last month, they pulled it from Steam.
Oh, well, that happened.
Yeah, so if you have suggestions or questions or suggestive questions, you can write in to podcast@fancyramen.com.
Or you can, you know, not write and just tell a person about us and say, hey, send these guys a suggestive question at podcast@fancyramen.com, or leave a like, you know, it's whatevs.
And I think Cookie mostly said my part, so just keep spreading the word.
Noah writes in, here's a list of games that you could all play together. Kerbal Space Program. See who can build a rocket or plane that can land on the moon first or something like that. Rocket League. Typing of the Dead. PUBG or Fortnite. The original XCOM. Just name your cast. Just name your cast and watch them all die in a few missions. A game where you can make horrible choices, like with Until Dawn. Maybe finish Persona 1. or maybe do an invite for a simple or free game for your listeners to play with you guys.
I'm always down to play with somebody. And I actually really like this idea of building... Hey, you found it.
I found the pop filter.
Building a... Seeing who can be the first person to build a rocket that can land on the moon.
Yeah, or Rocket League, where you just send your car to the moon.
And then play
soccer on it.
Oh, so you're saying Rocket League is like the Bitcoin simulator, but with cars?
What are you talking about?
When you said send your car to the moon, you know, to the moon.
Because Bitcoin's prices.
Cryptocurrency, you know what
I'm
saying?
Oh, I see, yeah. I see. It was more a reference to the...
No, I understand what it was a reference to.
There's
but
a moon-based pitch in Rocket League. That's actually one of my more preferred places to play because it has a different shape. So it's a lot of fun. It's very hectic.
What system do you have Rocket League on?
I've got it on my computer.
Well, you're dead to me still. Have a good day.
Kerbal Space Program seems like an awfully fun idea. I actually have been going through ideas to play with John, Keith, and Buck. Yeah, maybe Kerbal Space Program.
So what are you looking forward to?
Stardew Valley's multiplayer is done, apparently.
Oh, cool. So now we can both play, and I can re-download that on my Switch.
But not quite yet, and unfortunately, I don't have it on Switch either.
Well, then never mind.
Now I'm dead to you.
Have a good day.
It'll enter QA after translations are complete, since that game is out in like 20 different languages. But there's actually a site, like an end in sight now. And there's also apparently a short film adaptation of Papers, Please, and it's now available on YouTube. And have we talked about that game before? I'm like positive we have.
We have.
So it's like a 10-minute long short film. I am totally checking it out. at some point today. Along with that,
I already got it queued up.
So Spike Chunsoft is they basically announced that they'll be announcing, that's redundant, five new games come March 23rd in a like Spike Chunsoft sort of direct or live stream. That's notable mostly because aside from doing games that I'm the only one interested in, like Danganronpa, they've also done games like
they've done some Pokemon titles.
Yeah, Pokemon. They've done a they did the last Mario Sonic Olympics game too, if I'm not mistaken, the Rio game. They have a catalog to choose from, so to speak. So I'm really curious as to what they're going to be releasing. As Chunsoft, they made all the original Dragon Quest games too, by the way, but they did not carry development past Dragon Age 4. But they also did the Zero Escape series and Fire Pro Wrestling last year too. Got anything you're looking forward to, Scott?
Oh, you know it. Into the Breach releases in 2 days. So on Tuesday.
What?
And I am thrilled to play this. It is from developer Subset Games, who many people may know from FTL, Faster Than Light. I'm assuming it should have some like killer soundtrack tracks, because I loved FTL's tracks. And it also looks like a pretty difficult Advance War style grid combat game, which actually is a callback to our earlier conversation, which I don't know if you're adding it in the recording or not. Well, I guess you can't.
But anyway, it's gone. Bam.
I love turn-based games that are like Advance Wars, especially when they're obscenely difficult, because I'm bad at them, and so they're very rewarding when I complete anything. It looks really cool. It seems to have a lot of features that should be familiar with FTL players, with environmental hazards, and it's probably going to have different types of scenarios that randomly spawn in the game. But the basic premise is you're using your future military force to fight off what seems like an alien threat. And if you lose, you have to go back in time to try again. And so I think it's probably going to be obscenely difficult and force you to really learn the most effective or efficient combat and techniques through trial and error. And I'm just really looking forward to it.
I'm really curious as to how the game is going to be difficult. Like, is that difficulty going to come from resource management or things that you do outside of combat?
It looks like it will probably be a combination of resource management and also like map control. And so, and then there's also bonus objectives as well. And so there's probably a, you know, there's a way to scrape by, but then there's a way to be more successful by completing bonus objectives that probably add an extra level of difficulty or like juggling in how you handle that particular mission. But yeah, I'm looking forward to buying this, and then I will I'll talk about it and my experience on the podcast once I get some hours in.
I don't have much I'm looking forward to right now. Next week's just going to be kind of a work, go to sleep, work, go to sleep.
Have you guys been watching anime at all lately?
We watched the Full Metal Alchemist movie, live action movie. I don't think I mentioned that. But we watched that, and that kind of sparred me on to watching the... So we started over, and we're watching Brotherhood right now.
How many episodes is in Brotherhood?
50-something? 52? 54?
That's a long series.
It is a lot.
It's a good series.
At 22 minutes a pop, that's quite a bit.
You know, it's not quite a bit. 12 minutes of 12 minutes of Steven Universe. Oh, but I guess I'm also watching I'm also watching Katana Maidens.
Katana Maidens.
Mm-hmm. I saw a fight scene and was like, oh, this looks actually kind of interesting. Let's do it.
Interesting. I'm going into the back catalog a little bit. I really enjoyed Gurren Lagann and Kill la Kill by Studio Trigger. They've released a new show called Darling in the Franxx, and so before I watch that, I'm watching one that I totally forgot about that they released called Kiznaiver, and so I'm about was good. Halfway through that, I think. I like the premise. It's pretty interesting. And like all good Studio Trigger, films, they have many interesting characters with some pretty entertaining tropes. So,
well, Darling in the Franxx has now been added.
Wow, this looks like extremely typical.
Which Katana Maidens?
Which one?
Darling in the Franxx. When I saw the poster for it. Granted, I know not to judge just based on promotional material.
I know nothing about it, so
the poster of it looks very like regular shonen, which
doesn't it though? Yeah, so that makes me excited.
Yeah, just because like Trigger's not really known for doing that type of show, and I'm pretty curious. I mean, going from Space Patrol Luluco to this
audacious space pirates,
but yeah. So I'm curious. I'll have to check that out. I've been watching Natsume no Yujin Cho. Natsume Yujin Cho, I think, is what it's called.
And the English title is?
This thing again. It is Natsume's Book of Friends. For what I'm going to tell you the story is, it's actually a really lighthearted, chill show, which has been like kind of a good way to relax. But the protagonist moves... The protagonist has always dealt with watching spirits or ghosts as a kid or throughout his life. And after his parents are dying, I don't know if we know how his parents died, but he basically goes from family to family of relatives and usually alienates himself in that family at some point because he lets loose the secret that he can see ghosts and no one believes him. Ghosts and demons, I should say. Otherworldly spirits. Yokai, etc. But he ends up moving to this town out in the countryside and discovers that apparently his grandmother used to live in the same house, and he finds a book with a bunch of yokai names inside of it. And the premise is that if you're able to get a yokai or a demon or ghost to sign their name down, that you can basically control or command that demon. And so this Book of Friends just has a bunch of these different yokai or demon inside of it, and his purpose or his goal is to basically find every demon he can and give them back their name. So
that's nice. There's like six seasons of this.
Yeah, that I noticed when I started watching them on Crunchyroll as opposed to you know, other streaming sites.
Crunchyroll has season 1, 4, 5, and 6.
Like, I was 10 episodes in thinking to myself, like, oh, man, this is just, like, a nice short series. This is good. And then I realized there are multiple seasons. And I was like, oh, shit. Do I keep watching? The most recent season aired last year, so I guess it's still active. Guys, I've had a great time recording this episode of Fancy Ramen.
Episode 296.
Episode 835. Can you imagine?
Episode 57.
Can you imagine what year it would be if this was episode 835?
Well, you know, when we upgrade to being a daily podcast, it'll actually start, I mean, really upping the number of episodes we have.
But what if we switch to a monthly podcast?
Then obviously you've been doing something wrong.
Your body and your mind will probably be dead by that point in time.
Maybe at that point, it would be the AI version of myself. For all you know, I'm experiencing existence right now in the past, and I'm actually an AI in the year 2335.
Learning how humans used to interact with each other.
Exactly.
AKA Job Simulator. I think there's a Black Mirror episode about that.
That explains why you have such a hard time like talking to dogs normally. This explains everything.
My advanced mechanical species cannot handle like small organic entities.
You can't pass the Turing test because you act really weird around animals. Well, I've solved the mystery of my life. I'm satisfied with this episode.
And I'm Neil.
Monkey.
See you next week, everybody.
All right, Neil. Power down.